We think
it is time for the Berkshire Edge online. Of course, theberkshireedge.com is their web location. And once a week, we get together with Marcy and David. And I do believe I'll knock on the door and see if they're there.
Hi there.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. Behind door number one and two.
We are here. What about door number three?
All right. Well, good morning.
That's where the tiger is.
Well, I like tigers. That was the fun part.
No, no. Remember that old story?
Yes.
The lady and the tiger?
Uh-huh. The lady or the tiger.
Or the tiger. Right.
Or the tiger.
Or both know, together, actually.
Did you just hear our last show? Because
no.
It's just as well.
Just as well.
All right. Well, the way we're going right now, this is a perfect story to start it off.
That's right.
It's time to not pick the weeds, but smoke the weeds.
And it's, the weed gates are opening in Massachusetts in July, but in some places they're opening now in November. In other words, recreational marijuana is now being offered for sale. And you know, Berkshire County is the place to go.
I see
not
this.
Only do we have music and dance and theater, we have pot.
And you could have, according to
so
your...
Maybe they go together. Maybe you could just go, you know, get stoned and go to listen to some music.
But
the
amazing
sounds familiar to me.
Yeah, the amazing thing about this, about your story, you could have four or five opening in Great Barrington alone.
I know. That's what's odd. Yeah. You know, we have a little map in our story here about this. That shows that Berkshire County has 22 applications for marijuana pot shops, second only to Worcester County, which has 47. But Worcester County has like four times the population.
Oh, yeah.
Eight times.
Eight times the population. So,
six times. Sorry.
You know. Maybe having... There's one person put it that we had one liquor store in Great Barrington, and soon we'll have four or five pot shops.
Amazing. Now, when are they going to open up?
In July.
Oh, so it's July of next year.
So we got plenty of time to themselves out and have turf, have weed wars.
But right now, marijuana is legal, recreational in Massachusetts right now,
yes,
right?
Right. So, in fact, there was a...
It is right now. It's just that it's not being sold yet.
Yeah. There was a shop in Northampton that opened in November.
Yeah.
So, it's being rolled out.
So we have
the first in a series of articles from Sheila Clary, who is a terrific writer and who wrote... Yeah. Wrote us a series about a month or two ago about her conversations with a young heroin addict that you know got a great deal of attention because it was such an interesting article. And so now this is going to be a series of articles that she's writing about you know the coming of marijuana. What will the recreational marijuana?
I find it interesting though because if indeed four or five shops open up, this is going to be. I mean, it obviously helps the people looking for jobs.
Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know how many jobs each shop will have, but it also certainly helps the town coffers because there's a big tax on it. And if we have five or six pot shops in Great Barrington, that means that's the revenues for the town are going to be...
It's estimated to be $1 million a year for Great Barrington.
For Great Barrington,
yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Because recreational marijuana
taxed.
Is subject to a sales tax of 6.2% and excise tax of 10.75% on top of local determined fees.
That
means that, you know, there's going to be a lot of money for Berkshire County and or for Great Barrington, Berkshire County and Massachusetts.
The first two that did open, one in Leicester and the other one in Northampton, they generated $2.2 million in the first 2 days.
Unbelievable.
So
unbelievable. Well, you know,
so we have, you know, we do have. So read this article. This article is very interesting about the.
I think
about the sort of the industrial scale of marijuana production.
Well, my only last comment on it is that. Obviously, they're going to need a lot of people to work at these shops, because the people who work at the shops probably are familiar with marijuana, and there'll be a lot of callers. I can't get in today.
maybe.
No.
It hasn't been the case in the medical marijuana shop.
Well, no.
But we are concerned because there is a shop planned to be right in the middle of downtown, right on Main Street.
I believe there'll probably be courier services set up from Connecticut immediately.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't doubt it.
Mules. Yeah. What they call them, mules. That's right, mules.
Mules.
All right. So.
Well, you know, Great Barrington is, as far as Connecticut and New York State, Great Barrington is pretty nicely situated, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it certainly is.
I mean, for you guys who just want to traipse across the
basically,
border.
When you look at it,
well,
from
I mean, but it's not just, I mean, there are, according to the map that we have, 22 licenses have been submitted, 22 applications in Berkshire County, but 12 in Hampden County, 47 in Worcester County, so, you know, all across the northern, and 11 in Norfolk County. So all across the northern border of Connecticut, there will be places. It's sort of like we used to go over the New York line to drink when I was a teenager.
Well, I think that in Sheffield there's going to be one.
Which
is very close to you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, in case you're interested.
Well, running a business like you guys run your business and like we run ours, I think we'll all be very interested in it.
Call them business.
Yeah.
All right.
Certainly a service.
Services is right. All right, let's move on to the next story on the educational front. This is, I like your headline here. You've had a meltdown in the oversight of the Southern Berkshire Regional School District. Bomb scare, school committee member walking out of a meeting, illegal meeting procedures, inability to seat newly elected school board members. Wow.
Yeah. Southern Berkshire Regional School District has just had a terrible time getting itself organized. And the school committee itself is in disarray. They've had all kinds of trouble there. They had a bomb scare here last week. At the same time, you know, the school committee has been meeting, trying to get itself organized, and people, one of the school committee members just simply walked out. He was so in a huff. So it's been quite a problem, and they finally got around to voting a new chairman of the school committee, and it turned out to be a really young guy, which is, I guess, hopeful. Guy named Ken Knox, this school district, we should mention, comprises the five towns that are in Southern Berkshire. You know, Monterey, Alford.
It's a lot like Region 1 in Connecticut, which comprises six towns. There's six towns in Region 1.
But this is a district that's, you know, it has a lot of ups and downs. It's projected to have fewer and fewer students.
Just like Region 1, go on.
Region 1. It's renowned for its robotics course.
Check.
I mean, nationally renowned for the kids in creating their own robots.
Just like Region 1.
Region 1 has these districts match up so close to one another.
Mm. Yeah.
Keep going.
Well, you know, there's a kind of, in Berkshire County, there's a struggle to figure out how to reorganize the school districts, because the school population is decreasing, and in order to reorganize them is a major effort of actually a task force of educators and administrators, and they haven't quite come up with something that will work. But Southern Berkshire is kind of at the, you know, at the southern tip of Berkshire County, and it needs to figure out its destiny and its place in this new pantheon of school districts for Berkshire County. But, you know, there's been a lot of talk that it should join the southern Berkshire Hills, which is in Great Barrington, just 10 miles north. So we'll see what happens out of that. But clearly the school district and the school committee is feeling a lot of pressure, and this is resulting in some really hilarious, well, in retrospect, hilarious episodes.
Not hilarious when they happen, but looking back at them, you go, my God, how could that happen?
Oh, how can adults behave like that?
I
guess adults is the active word there.
I want to move on to your next story, because this is a great story. I saw a documentary put together on Bill Murray. A guy was going to do a documentary, and he was going to contact Bill Murray, because Bill Murray is renowned for showing up at places unannounced and just treating people to a good time. And he did the whole documentary on this. And I saw this story about... it's the anniversary, basically, of the screening of Scrooge from 1988,
and they're going to
hold it at the Mahawick. Kristen,
yep.
Karen Allen, because she's a resident of Berkshire County, has a business there,
and she has a business there. Yeah.
She has a
fiber arts business right on Railroad Street.
So she's going to be there, and I would be willing. It's probably a 50-50 shot that Murray will show up for this.
She's been talking to him. She can't promise it.
Yeah.
But there's going to be they're going to show it at the Mahawick. This is this Friday, and then they're going to there's going to be a question and answer afterwards with a woman from Karen Allen has been the Berkshire in the Berkshire International Film Festival. She's on its board, and so it's. Delighted to be in. I talked to her the other day, and she's been delighted to be in Berkshire County. You know, she first came to Berkshire County long ago in 1981 to be in a play at the Berkshire Theater Festival.
Yeah,
and that was that's what her first contact with the Berkshires was. But she's and her. I must say, her son is an excellent chef, and works. As a chef at the at a restaurant in Great Barrington, at Botanica, and at Inn on the Green in Marlboro. So his name is Nick Brown, and he's a really apparently a talented young chef.
Now, is this show? I would think that this show is. I mean, you have to buy your tickets, but I would think it's probably sold out.
I would. Guess it's probably pretty close to being sold. I mean, it's a hilarious movie.
Yeah. it's you know, I always say to everybody, you like what they take a movie that comes from a classic story, okay?
Yeah.
And they do it so well, where it's so funny, it's not offensive to the original movie. It really isn't. They just do a great job with this movie. I look at it now. I say, wow, the movie's that old. I mean, I watch it every year. I just think it's one of the best.
Did you ever see it in the theater?
I did see it in the theater.
Right.
Yes,
because that's the other thing is, you know.
And I when they at the end of the movie when they asked the guys to sing, I sang and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Well, it was just that was Annie Lennox and Al Green. Yeah. That was doesn't get better than that.
So, are you guys going to that movie?
Oh, well, not yet.
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we probably
should try to get tickets.
Yeah.
I wouldn't wait too much longer.
No.
They're not. You know, they're not expensive either. They're not charging $15.
No, that's what I mean. That's why I can't believe it.
Yeah,
If I didn't have to get up the next morning, I would go. I would definitely go. But getting up at 3:30 is kind of tough after going to that. So, anyways, let's go on to GE because we only have about, believe it or not, 7 minutes left.
Okay.
Well, I'll just mention briefly that the cleanup of the river affects actually you guys in Connecticut too.
Yeah.
But as people really know that the you know, the river, Housatonic River, had been polluted with the carcinogenic PCBs from the plant, General Electric plant in Pittsfield. And there's been a battle for the last, 20 years now. I think in 1998 was a consent decree between General Electric and the Environmental Protection Agency and the Justice Department to clean up the sediment, the PCB-saturated sediments in the river, and they did Pittsfield first, right around the plant. But the question now is what's called the rest of the river, which is probably a $500 million project to remove the silt and contaminated silt, especially at dams along the river where the silt sort of piled up. So the EPA has been had an information session just to update and to listen to people last week, and it was very interesting. People are just so worried that General Electric is going to be able to get away with not cleaning it up. And you know, one of the things they're doing is they're having a proposing are these what are called, you know, they're kind of like dumps or landfills for the sediment that's dredged from the river, from the river banks and the river bed, and they're depositing it on landfills. It'll be right next to the river.
Yeah,
people are very concerned that, you know, that's just moving it, you know, a few feet, and it'll just leak back in. So the EPA is trying to. This is part of the process of this cleanup, is for the EPA to hold these meetings to listen to people's concerns and ideas, actually. And I must say, you know, I've covered the EPA for many years, and they are a very transparent agency. They hold these meetings and listen very patiently and to people's testimony, just ordinary citizens, not just experts. And they really pay attention.
Just
quite remarkable. They did that over in the Hudson River when they were cleaning up the residue from another General Electric plant in Fort Edward. And if you read the testimony of those hearings, it's quite remarkable how open the EPA is to the public. I think they're a model agency, actually.
Well, we'll see. You know, just remember who's president.
David had a conversation with the outgoing, and who said that, they have been surprisingly unaffected on the local level.
Yeah, he's with Jim Murphy, has been with the EPA for many, many years, and he's been their spokesperson. He's actually retiring in January, at the end of January. And he was telling me that, surprisingly enough, his worst fears have not been realized. They have not been intruding into this, at least this particular process. So even though General Electric moved its headquarters to Boston, not far from the EPA's Region 1 headquarters.
That's right. Well, so that's the EPA. Now, I want to go. We started off with grass. We might as well go to mushrooms.
Yes.
No, these are not magic mushrooms.
Oh.
No, these are just a story about a writer of some skill. Has been talking about the abundance of edible mushrooms.
Oh, it's been a great summer for mushrooms.
Well, that's what he said. It was hot and moist, and the fungi have been having it a ball, you might say. But our writer Andrew Bleckman has been traipsing through the woods looking for and collecting mushrooms, and he gives a nice account of the with lovely photos of the mushrooms he's and delectable mushrooms that he's been able to collect, and he suggests some recipes to eat them and what they're good with. And so it's a really interesting story. As he said, mushrooms are fascinating and bizarre.
they're, you know what?
But you have to be careful.
Oh, yeah.
You do have to be careful. But if you follow his guidance, I think you can't go wrong.
All right. And we're going to wrap things up. We actually have time for this. This is great. Berkshire Barks and Purrs, a mobile veterinary clinic.
Oh, gosh. That's what we need. We have a woman who is has her veterinary operation in a mobile in a van, and she makes house calls for to her clients. So if you have a sick cat, she'll come to your house. You don't have to. And her van is completely equipped as a little veterinary office on wheels. So I think that's a really cute story. Her name is Dr. Tracy Fahey. And, you know, it's kind of old-fashioned, don't you think?
Oh, except that my brother and sister live in California, and they swear by their mobile vet.
And
they do the surgery and everything there. So
years ago, my mother, who lived in West Cornwall, when she got to be 60-some years old, found a mobile vet. And not only did the mobile vet help her save the lives of a lot of the cats they trapped and everything, my mother, she came to visit the cat one day, and my mother was very, very sick, and she discovered my mother was sick and got me over there in the state police. So if it's done right, there it's a handy service
and,
to have.
People will know Dr. Fahey because Dr. Tracy Miller Fahey, and Tracy Miller was at Sand Road for quite a while.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think it's a great story, and... I can remember doctors making house calls when I was a kid. I can remember doctors actually would show up at your house.
Well, now the best you can get is some sort of robot.
Well, that's a great story to wrap up on. So we've gone from we covered a lot of different topics,
right,
but
well, that's what the Edge does.
That's right.
From,
and,
from
and,
weeds to bark.
And it's bark. And it's theberkshireedge.com.
Yes.
Theberkshireedge.com. And, of course,
24 hours a day.
You're there. And believe you me, I know you guys work just about that because it's the same job.
When you're not at the opera.
That's right.
Pardon?
When you are not at the opera.
When I'm not at the opera.
Right.
Actually, I have two operas next week.
Uh-oh. Shall we reschedule?
Pardon?
I said, shall we reschedule?
No. Well, I'll be in New York Wednesday morning, okay. Will, but we'll see.
All right.
All right, guys. We'll speak to you next week, maybe.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Bye. You bet. Bye-bye.
All right. That is this week in the Berkshire Edge on air, theberkshireedge.com.